Hello, guys, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is August 23rd, 2005, and it's show number 130 today, folks.
Yep.
For the next hour, we're broadcasting from the Little Ranch House Studio right here in Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. The next hour, we'll be talking about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. The host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson.
Well, hi there, Tom.
It's certainly nice to have you with us today.
Good to be here.
And you too, Don Shaw.
Well, Mr. Tom, all right, man.
Good to have you with us.
Sounds like a deal.
I am Tom Houston, by the way, but here he is, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Howdy, friends. Thank you, out there in Radio Land. It's wonderful to have you with us today. Good heavens. Show 130. Good job, Gertie. What a guy. It's wonderful, isn't it?
What a deal.
130 of these things, yeah. 130 hours we've done of this.
My goodness.
Doesn't seem possible. Who'd want to listen to 130 hours of this?
I don't
have any idea. Talked to this guy in Florida yesterday. He's interested in radio. Wanted to pull on a radio station. Of course, you can't do that anymore, but he didn't know that. Talking to him at the end of the conversation, just out of the clear blue, said, "Oh, by the way, how's Patterson's pool coming along?"
Yeah,
I had no idea he'd ever heard of it. I had no idea he'd ever heard of either show. "How's Patterson's pool coming?" "Boy, you can't give him any earphones with knobs on them, can you? Because he'll just tear them right up, boy." Just knew all about us. Knew the whole gang, you know.
What a deal.
Just amazed me. I loved it.
Yeah, that's anyway, neat. That is. That's cool.
I put up yesterday. Listen, let me tell you a quick story.
Okay.
We had those recessed can lights up in the loft, remember? And we had two in the living room and three in the loft, and we redid the roof. We took them out.
Yeah.
Well, we decided to put some new ones in, but getting lights big enough for this hole is probably 8 inches across in diameter.
Yeah.
Who's got a cell phone? I hear a cell phone ticking. Hear that? Anyway, so we had to buy some little things to go around them. I don't know what you call these deals to go around them, but they hang. The whole light hangs from the box. In other words, you put a little bracket on the box, and then you put hang the light down. And let me tell you, son, it took me and my sighted son all day to put those up yesterday. Because you can't see up in there. You can't. "Oh, Daddy, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it, Daddy." "George, I don't have to see to do it." "Well, I can do it. I know I can do it. I do things blind all the time. I don't have to see." "Okay, Daddy. All right. I'll let you do it. All right. You know. Ah." Anyway, don't buy any lights that hang. And they were just, George got shocked. And then we hooked the first light up. They're in series. Of course, you can start one wire. Then you go from one light to the next light to the next light, right?
Yeah.
Well, George, of course, put this first light in. Then he had it on so he could see what he was doing. And, of course, the second one was hot.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Man. You know, he got shocked once. But it was a long, involved ordeal.
I bet it was.
All right. Do we want to save Patterson's pool story for the last show, or do you want to tell it now?
Oh, we can save it for the last. Well,
save it for the last.
Tell one thing. I haven't seen the light, so, but how did the installation, is it nice?
Yeah. We'll go when you, well, you don't have time, do you? You got to get home and spread your dirt.
I have to go spread dirt and put out grass.
Man.
The grass man coming. They look real good. You can angle them any way you want, and they're little lights, like in that room in there, like in the booth in there.
Right.
And they're bright as hell, everybody says.
Okay.
Cool. So we got those put up, and we got two more to do in the living room. The other unfortunate thing about the ones in the living room is they're about 12 feet in the air. So
yeah. That'll be fun.
Oh, it's going to be a barrel of fun.
Wow.
All right, Tommy.
This post ought to be interesting, Phil. The title is Splish Splash. And it says,
"I read
Flip
this.
And
yeah.
Smith, I'm all wet. My dishwasher just washed the kitchen floor. I don't see anything wrong with it. The water wasn't overflowing. The drain worked when I turned it to drain. But while washing, it washed the kitchen floor, the laundry room floor, and part of the dining area floor, too.
There's something wrong there.
I wonder, the pronunciation of this dog, poor Dial G, I guess, was in the dining area eating his kibbles, and he kept barking because the water was chasing him.
Yeah.
So my floor mop didn't pick up the water worth beans, but it soaked into the laundry room rug nicely.
Yep.
I got a car washing sponge out, and it soaked up the rest. Now then, does this mean I get to buy a new dishwasher, or do I have to troubleshoot? Now, if the latter, considering what I've already said about what wasn't wrong, when I opened and drained it, what should I do first?
I got a comment about that.
That's from all Kathy, right. Of course.
Kathy Williams, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Something I'd read actually on the list that I agree with, but it's if the float, if you know the float's not stuck and all that's working fine and the drain's working and all that, someone on the list had said, you know, this isn't my idea, but I agree with it, that it's that they said that they had replaced a seal, a door seal. And I'm thinking maybe that was just a bad place. But that seems like a sure a lot of water that...
Man, I'd call somebody. Wouldn't you?
I believe I would on that one.
I'd call somebody.
Yeah, because even, oddly enough, on our brand new dishwasher, when we moved into the house, leaked. In Sears, it was a Kenmore, and they came and replaced that gasket, or the gasket was... Not seated in there properly, but we did not get that much water.
That's what
so
I was
imagine it just continually.
I can't either. The whole dishwasher flowed into everywhere.
The dishwasher just doesn't hold that much water.
I mean, it's obviously not pumping out maybe the drain between the dishwasher and then going into your main drain.
That'd be what I think, because I would think the dishwasher door would seal. I mean, when you open it, you might have that flood.
Yeah.
But I would think the dishwasher door would keep the water in if it was.
You would think so, and it would be a heck of a lot of water if it just built up and up and up inside the dishwasher.
Seems like it.
This is one you may need to call plumber man.
Yeah, or like, you know, if the dishwasher was at any age at all, but 2 or more. They're what you can get them fairly.
Boy, I agree with that.
By the time a service man comes and then trying to get parts and everything, you know, it's just, sometimes it's just better to replace.
That's it.
What does the float do, Sean? Is there a float in there like there is in a commode box?
Yeah. And when the water gets up to the right place, it shuts off.
But this person is convinced that float's working? Because that might fill it.
I think she said it was working, but yeah, that's what it sounds like, that it almost got too much water in it.
How would she know that the float was working?
I don't know.
I would like to see a dishwasher that would have a glass door that you could look in and see everything it does.
Yeah, as it was working.
I'd love to see that.
Well,
yeah.
I wouldn't want to traumatize her dog anymore, but if it was mine, I'd be tempted to close it and try it again and see what happened. If it didn't leak this time, then maybe the float just hung one time.
I guess that is always possible.
That would scare me pretty bad. If it hung one time, it means...
Yeah, but you'd be there waiting on it, and you could...
Well, yeah, just keep that car washing sponge nearby.
You could cut it off real quick.
Might have to feed
you
over.
I'm just wondering.
Out in the patio.
The dishwasher pumps water. I mean, it doesn't just drain out. It pumps it out.
It sure does. Right.
It would have to pump it out because the drain is higher than the dishwasher, so it pumps the water out. I'd sure take a look under the sink and see if there isn't a break there.
The pump, maybe the seals in the pump are shot, you know, I mean.
Yeah. And the
but you, you're right.
Water,
time you fix those, you could buy a new dishwasher.
Yeah, sure, you could buy a new dishwasher. So, yeah.
Which I'm fixing to do anyway.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
It's time, is it?
Well, mine's 14 years old, and the trays are all screwed up. We probably order the bottom tray would be $59.71, right?
Right.
The top tray would be $39.95 plus shipping and tax. You can buy a new one for $200, can't
we
you?
We talked about that very thing when we replaced ours a while back. We told the salesman about the racks were rusting, and that's what he said. Got a new rack, you know, cost $90.
Well, my racks, the little spokes that stick up are all broken off. Yeah.
I wanted something for my ice box that wasn't that old, maybe and I called Sears or whatever and asked him about, and that guy said, you don't want to know the price of that.
Well, you know,
that tells a story, doesn't it?
Underneath the top tray of your dishwasher, there is a thing that goes around, but it just kind of hangs on the top tray. Do you have that in your dishwasher?
Yes, the new one has it.
It just hangs there.
Yeah.
I took it off.
Well, I think it has something to do with spreading the water.
Yeah, I do
well,
too.
It didn't. I took it off 10 years ago, and my dishwasher has not suffered any. I think it's just on there to make side people go, boy, it's nice thing. You've got one of these hanging things on the bum of the tray here.
Another modification by Phil Fox.
I just took it off and put it up, and of course, the members go, but it's not going to work right anymore. And it's worked right ever since. I mean, it washes dishes just fine. I think it's just stuck on there for side people to go, oh, isn't that nice? That's good, boy.
I bet that happens.
I think it is. Oh, well, yeah.
I guarantee you it does. Right. Here's a guy who says, hello, I have a Zircon video level, 5.0 level. Huh. I recently replaced the batteries in it, and I cannot seem to get it to work right. Any suggestions on something to try? Any other levels out there that are blind friendly? This is Mike.
Oh, this isn't the guy with the measuring tape.
No.
There was a measuring tape post problem and an audible level problem. It just makes you wonder about some of this accessible equipment we buy, doesn't it?
Well, right.
There's been anything, two posts. Anything that has battery operated that doesn't work, one of my solutions is take the battery out and leave it out overnight and put it back in. You know, sometimes that actually works.
Are these rechargeable batteries in it, I guess? Or
probably not. Probably double A's.
Regular
little double A's. I wonder
how come that works.
Maybe it's resetting it or something?
It resets itself. You take it off and it resets itself.
I got you.
And you put power back on it and it's a new ball game, you know. It's just,
okay.
It's all brand new. I got my recorder I fell in the pool with finally quit erasing. So I'm going to
yeah,
I'm gonna have to. You can put stuff on it, but it won't erase it. So I guess I'm going to have to.
Yeah. Yeah. End of the line.
End of the line.
It's got to eventually fill up, I would think.
Get out, it's the end of the line.
Listen, is there a different name for a chop saw? Now, the reason I ask is that I want to buy one and don't want to look like a fool if the salesman don't know what I'm talking about. This is Bryce.
Miter saw.
Yeah. Compound miter saw. He got lots of answers to that.
Yeah.
Compound miter saw is what he wants. It's the best tool I ever bought in my life. It's a compound miter saw. Got two angles, not one, but two.
Well, I would even go one step further because some of them are fairly inexpensive. The best deal I ever made, you know, my compressor from the tool show that came to town wasn't that good. But I have a sliding compound miter saw.
Yeah.
And but I'll say this, if it's not a matter of money, I mean too much, I would buy a 12-inch saw the next time instead of a 10-inch. Because mine, even with it sliding, it'd slide about 12 inches. I mean, you can cut some big boards, but you still, on a 4x4 board, 4x4 post or something, you're going to leave that little corner that you just, if you had a 12-inch saw, you could cut.
You've still got to turn it over if you're cutting a 4x4.
That's right. Where the 12-inch would shine through.
Yeah, and like I said, even if it was, you know, like I said, I know a lot of people are budgeting. But if it's $100 or so difference, I'd do it.
Go ahead and buy the 12-inch?
Yes, sir.
Well, the best tool, you know, I use my table saw a lot, but my chop saw, boy, just, I mean, you know, if you want to cut something, I don't know how, you know, it's in the compound miter saw is what you want, or compound sliding compound miter saw.
I read an interesting post about that today that someone else, I think Brad might have sent to the list, this Porter Cable saw that he had bought that has the notches on the motor angle, which I thought was great because my compound miter box saw doesn't. When you lean it over to one side or the other, you know,
There's no notches.
No, I don't have any notches. Now, when I move it side to side, so I have notches.
There's not any on mine either.
But this Porter Cable had them both ways.
That'd be nice. When you lean it over, you know. But you assume if you lean it over all the way that it's 45 degrees. I don't know that it is.
Yeah, it is.
I just assumed it was. So, but, if it had notches going that way, that'd be nice.
It would. It'd be really handy.
Yeah, for a visually impaired or blind, that would be the one I'd be interested in.
Oh, yeah, man.
Okay.
And he said he bought this in 92, I think, didn't he? But got this one that has the notches?
I think so.
Anyway,
this Porter Cable.
Okay. Hi, folks. Those of you who have the Cobalt talking tape measure, mine's giving me a problem. It just keeps saying, error tape not in.
Yeah.
The tape is in. And I've checked all the contact points, and they seem to be clean. The tape does move in and out freely. So any ideas, any help would be greatly appreciated. Armando.
This dando blind equipment.
No wonder people think, though, that we're weird. Can't you see a blind guy in his garage arguing with his tape measure? It is
in. That's no lie.
Damn. The sensor, for some reason, is not seeing that the tape is all the way in. There were several suggestions. One of them was hold some button down and do this. There were several suggestions.
There was. Several good suggestions.
But I'd try my old tried and true method, take that battery out and leave it out overnight. Put it back in, see if it works. You know, spray some WD-40 in it. That's good for it.
Don't
do that. Johnny Brad, Armando, don't do that. Don't listen to me. Don't do that. Never spray WD-40 in your tape measure. It would screw it up for good.
Here's a girl looking for an old-fashioned spray you pop right onto the faucet. Now, this is for an old sink, and it has about 3 to 4 accordion pleats, which gives it a sort of long neck.
Yeah.
Thing of it is, it can send the spray of water all around the sink. No way can the modern spray with a long hose be fitted in this old but serviceable sink. Anyone seen one lately anywhere?
Well, if you put a new set of faucets on, it'll have a place for your hose, you know. Well,
you would think so.
No, normally that knockout's in the sink.
It's in the sink, but the hose has got to tie on somewhere.
Yeah, but it goes under the sink.
Yeah, mine goes under
mine,
the sink.
In other words, my hose comes through our sink in a different knockout.
Well, yeah, it comes up through a different knockout, but I'm saying it's got to tie on somewhere.
Yeah,
so it'd
underneath.
It'd have to tie onto the faucet before the faucet, because when you press it on, the faucet goes off.
Right. I don't have an idea.
I haven't seen one of those.
I don't know what she's talking the accordion.
It would screw on. It would screw on. I guess screw on her. On where her aerator goes and where her
right.
the end of her
That's
faucet goes.
That's what I'm
goes.
Thinking.
Okay.
But
I've never seen one.
Well, you know, they make handheld shower things that you can have on your shower that you take off. You might try something like that would spray.
I have one of those. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't take four.
I do, too.
It's the best thing in the world for washing places that we don't want to talk about. Rather not bring up. You're on the old Handy Blind Man show.
Yeah.
Well, 130's off to a roaring start here, neighbors. And our guest is what's his name, Donald?
Barry Levine.
Barry Levine.
Our guest today.
And Barry has got new talking thermostats that he's going to talk to and about and demonstrate for us. And we'll have Barry on in just a minute. More of the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute. Hang on.
Made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. About the Blind Handyman List, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Barry Levine, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing fine, Don. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. You and those talking thermostats.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, sir, good to have you with us. Where are you?
In a town called Homer Glen, Illinois.
Homer Glen, Illinois. Give us close to what?
Well, we're about 30 miles southwest of Chicago.
So that's plenty close enough to Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually a suburb.
So you can hear all the big stations in Chicago.
Absolutely.
And that's important, you know.
Absolutely.
That's right. Hearing those radio stations. And 30 miles from Chicago, what is your level of vision?
I'm totally blind.
Totally blind. Mm-hmm. Well, so am I. So that's good. We like having blind people on the show. How long have you been blind?
Oh, totally, probably 20, 25 years.
So you had some sight at one time?
Yeah, I had retinitis pigmentosa. So my childhood, my teen years, and early 20s, I could see fairly well. And then it was pretty steady decline. I probably lost all of my sight right around the age of 30.
On the trim pot.
So obviously you drove. Hi, Barry, by the way. Don Patterson here.
Hi, Don.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So you drove your car at some point, right?
Yes, I did.
You know, I worked at the college for a while out here, and we had several students, in fact, one family, that was, and they were in different degrees of blindness, of losing their vision, and that some of them were still trying to drive their car and shouldn't have been, you know, and that's...
I was in that situation, yeah. I will never forget the last day I drove my car. I didn't just intelligently decide to give up the keys one day. I was more or less scared into doing that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you can't just leave us there. And you
well,
can't just
I wound
say
up
that.
On my, the car with me in it wound up on its side in a fairly deep drainage ditch along a fairly fast road. And it eventually came to rest against a concrete abutment in that ditch. And I was kind of pulled out of that car from the driver's door, but somebody was, like, standing on the side of the car pulling me up through that door.
Yeah.
Man.
And that was the last moment I actually drove
a car. Was, okay, God, I can't see. You know, enough of this. Yeah. Enough. Well, if you had that, it would be that privilege of being able to drive the car. It would be difficult to give it up.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not... I'm typically not a very religious person, but that day, there was a force greater than me that kept me from dying. By all accounts, I should have just...
A force greater than you, and it wasn't your wife.
No, correct.
I know.
Correct.
I know. Where have you speak, sir?
Yeah.
Well, that's good experience. That's a good, good blind story. That's the kind of story we like to hear, especially since you came out of it, all right?
Yeah,
I came out of it.
Survived it, all right. What age were you when this finally happened?
I was about 25. Probably a little earlier than that, maybe 22, 23, something like
and,
that.
And so life changed, of course, after that happened. What were you doing? What do you do for a living? What did you want to do? Tell us about yourself a little.
Well, at that time I was working. I had gotten my undergraduate degree from the University of Illinois in psychology. And at that time I was working. I hadn't yet gone on to graduate school, which I did later. But in between I was working at a hospital. It was Lutheran General Hospital, which had a neuropsychology lab, and I was doing neuropsych evaluations and things like that. And I did indeed go back to graduate school a few years later, but that's what I was doing at that time. What that little incident in the car changed for me is what we all go through as blind people, and suddenly transportation became much more of a much greater problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that was pretty huge in my life at that time. And also, you know, that whole macho thing of, if I can't drive a car, am I still a man?
I know.
The girls won't like me.
Yeah.
You know.
I may not like myself.
Yeah.
That sort of kind of thing. I understand that. But because you were doing undergraduate work, did you keep on with that?
I had graduated. So that continued, and I was working already in the neuropsych lab. And, in fact, it's when I pretty much lost all of my sight that I decided, you know what, I got to get back to graduate school. So that's what brought me back to graduate school.
So did you get it where you could do counseling?
Well, I was at that time, and then I started graduate school, and I began my graduate work in the field again in clinical neuropsych.
Okay.
But part of that curriculum is doing, well, what we're going to call rat studies, you know.
Right.
And meaning rat surgeries, and we're implanting electrodes in the brains of rats and things like that. And given my state of blindness at the time, I was killing way too many rats.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, the rats are going, here comes the blind guy.
Yeah, exactly. And so my advisor kind of said, you know, Barry, you might want to rethink,
reconsider
what you're doing here. We're just losing rats by the dozens. You know? And I did, and I changed track. I changed my academic track into organizational psych, and that's what I continued on with my graduate school in organizational psychology. So that's kind of that. What I do now is, and I won't go into gross detail about how I got here, but what I've been doing for the past many, many years is rehab administration. And, in fact, I now own my own outpatient rehab facility in Homer Glen here. And that's what I do for a living.
And but you own the business yourself.
Yeah, I do.
Man, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is great. Do you have other folks, doctors, nurses? The lady answered the phone. So you obviously have a secretary.
Well, yeah.
It's not much question.
There's a whole staff of PTs, and we have a couple of secretaries and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's a nice occupation. Well, let's get around to these thermostats that you bought. Did you install them yourself, or did you?
No, I didn't install them myself. When I talked to the man, and oh my gosh, I'm on this phone call, and I can't believe I don't remember the name of the company. I do remember the model numbers, but not the name of the company, and I can get that for you if you want. When I talked to the guy down in New Orleans, I think is where they are, either in New Orleans or just outside New Orleans in Louisiana, he said, you know, you could probably, well, anybody with a pair of eyes could install these pretty easily. The connections are color-coded, and it's, you know, for the most part, a standard thermostat. So there's really no trick to it other than you have to be able to see what wires get attached to what wires.
Yeah, to cover.
And so he said, you know, he really does recommend that you get somebody who knows what they're doing in case there is a problem and so on. And, you know, one of the nice things about being in the business I'm in is that we do a lot of physical therapy and rehabilitation and things like that, and we always have patients who are in the trades, and so anytime I need an electrician or a heating and air conditioning guy or a plumber or whatever, I have a number of people to choose from. So at any rate, I just asked one of the electricians, and of course I paid him, but, you know, to come over and install these things in my house, and he did it. He was literally there and gone.
20 minutes.
Yeah. And he installed two of them.
Yeah. You know. Well, see, I have the same deal with my wife. Oftentimes, there'll be some electrician who wants a divorce, and she's an attorney, and of course, he can't quite pay, and so we end up getting. We got a plumber right now that's doing a custody case, and I've had all sorts of things done. You know,
right? Yeah. Well, you know, we need to barter more in this society.
Anyway. Yeah, I have him come over and just hang around in case I have a leak.
There you go.
Never know what could happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, that works out pretty good. See, yeah, it didn't take long. Don Shaw, you did yours yourself, didn't you?
A thermostat. Yeah, but I had to have help with the color, with the wiring.
You had to do color code. Wiring.
Same thing, color coding. So but that'd be important because, man, you could fry $100-something thermostat.
Yeah, and that's about what they are. It's 100 and what? 130, 150?
Yeah, I want to say I paid because I bought two of them, and they gave me, I want to say, either a 10 or a 20% discount for buying two of them.
Yeah.
And they also, unbeknownst to me, they give you a discount if you're blind. And so I think that was either a 10 or a 20% discount. So I think the two of them cost me, oh, don't quote me on this, but $249,
$259. Yeah, that's
about right. Sounds in the ballpark.
So you decided you wanted them. So you ordered them. How long did it take you to get them?
Oh, within a week I had them.
Within a week?
Yeah.
Okay. And so now these are programmable, right?
Yes, they're programmable. Like, so these are beautiful. I love them.
The voice, good, speak, understand?
The voice is clear, easily heard, and reports exactly what you want it to. They're very easy to use once they're installed.
And you can set them where the grandchildren cannot come and turn them down to 70 degrees without you warning.
Well, it depends on how tall the grandchildren are.
I mean, can you not, does this have like the seven-day program or the...
It has what they call a two-stage program. They have a five-day program for Monday through Friday.
Right.
And then the weekend program for Saturday and Sunday. So you can program your typical, depending upon your lifestyle, obviously, you can program your typical work week, and then assuming, and they make the assumption that your weekends are different from your weekdays, and you program it differently for Saturday and Sunday. And obviously, there's a manual override to all of this, so if you want to change something on the fly, you certainly can do
that. Well, these are not the brightest kids I've ever run across. Perhaps they wouldn't know about the manual override.
And it's very easy to set. And even if you don't have it programmed, it's very easy for a blind person to set. You know, we take little things for granted, I suppose, when we're sighted. And when we're blind, we sort of forget how nice it is to have access to certain things. I haven't had my own independent direct access to the temperature in my house for over 20 years. And now I do.
Well,
I've got that because I've got several talking thermometers. My question is this. The thermostat that's in the studio building here, I find there is about 4 degrees difference. Like, if I want it 72, and I set it where it pretty well keeps things 72, it will get up to 74 before it comes on, and then it will pull the temperature down to 70 in the building.
Huh.
So there seems to be too much difference in...
Yeah, that's 4 degrees. Is.
And I'm just wondering if the digital thermostat would keep it closer.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, and I don't know. And you guys are so much more, handymen than I am?
You wouldn't, if you knew us, you wouldn't say that. Anyway, go ahead.
But with the old, what are you going to call it, analog thermostat that had that little mercury bead in it that slid back and forth or whatever, it did it. Yeah. I would notice that, and I'd have somebody stand there and tell me, if, for example, I wanted it 72 degrees, and they'd go set it on 72 degrees, and it was 74 degrees in the house already, it would take a few moments for that to kick on the appropriate appliance, whether it be the furnace or the air conditioner or whatever. I've noticed with the digital thermostat, it clicks it on immediately. If you set it for 72, or let's say it's whatever temperature it is, it's 70 degrees, and you want it 68, and you click in 68, it turns on immediately. The air will turn on immediately.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
That's going to be the difference in keeping the temperature. Because you're right, on weekend, I keep my house 75 if I'm there by myself, because I don't need it as cool. I'm old and my circulation's bad. But when my wife's home on the weekend, if it's 75, she's going, Phil. Now, come on, you've got to do something here. So starting at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, I turn the compressor on and run it till 8 o'clock that night. And there's no other way to keep her happy. And God knows keeping her happy is one of my priorities.
Well, it's money well spent, you know.
It is money well spent. I mean, and she doesn't say a thing. So I just let the compressor run all day. If I'm there by myself, it cycles.
Were these designed, is this company, I mean, obviously they're for anyone. I mean, I can see how a senior citizen
decided
about it. But like you said, they gave you the discount. Have you, I don't know if you have a wife or anybody, that have they commented on the digital readout? I'm partially sighted now because I use my
eyes. It's got a nice display.
Yeah. I wonder
if it's got a nice visual
LCD
display.
Or?
It's an LED display.
LED. Okay.
Yeah. And it's got something. There's a button that will give you, when you press it, that will backlight that display.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it's easily seen, and I believe when you press that button, it also gives you, why anybody would want this, I really don't know, but it gives you, I think, the version of that thermostat.
The software?
The software version, I think, whatever it's programmed with.
Okay.
I'm wondering, does it have a USB port? Can you upgrade it online?
You can upgrade online. In fact, I noticed, and I don't know why, but it's there. It must be for this reason. I noticed that there is a cable jack on the back of this thing.
I wonder if it takes pictures.
Probably. Probably.
Can you call anyone on it?
You mean like a cable, like the TV cable that you receive at your house, there's one of those little connectors on it?
Yes. Yeah.
What the hell
different?
For?
I would imagine it might be for a firmware upgrade or, I mean, you know, a software upgrade or whatever you might want to do. Or maybe, I have no idea, but maybe they can have access to this thing. If you're having problems with it.
They can look at it.
Yeah, maybe you can plug it in and somebody can remotely look at it. I may be talking out of my hat. I really don't know. But I can't think of any other reason why that jack is there.
Well, you know, anymore we have a lot of appliances. You can like turn your microwave on or your oven on from your office if you have the right gizmo. You know,
well,
you
that
can,
might be it, too.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That might be it.
You can turn your soap opera on.
Because, you know, we're going to have the cable companies are going to furnish us phone service pretty quickly. They'd be already doing it if the FCC would let them. You'd be getting they say that they can give you everything on one wire, your electricity, your cable, and your phone on one wire, your internet on one wire, but of course we don't have that yet. So you bought two of these, but you can't remember the name of the company. Was it a blind products company or just a company?
No, it was not a blind products company. In fact, and I will send to you wherever you want me to send the exact URL.
Yeah. I got a question on that, Barry, just right off the bat. Was it because a guy just recently joined the handyman list and it from thermostat.com? Do you know if that was the place you got it from?
Could be.
Well, you know, we had a guest on here about a year and a half.
The guest had domained talkingthermostats.com.
Yeah. You know what? It might be that. It might be Talking Thermostats.
He had domained that name because that way, but he was a guy, this guy worked for Honeywell for years.
Sure did, yeah.
And he was a very sharp fellow, but I was thinking he was in, seems like to me, Ohio, but I could be.
Maybe he went to.
Maybe moved to New Orleans.
Maybe he moved to
New Orleans.
I want to say that, and maybe it wouldn't be a terrible thing for. I'll send you the contact person, the guy that sold me these things.
Why don't you do
it wouldn't
that?
Be terrible for you to have him on.
It wouldn't be bad at all. I bet it's the same guy.
I bet it is, too. This guy was
thermostat.com. You know, he gave me a demonstration of the thing over the phone.
Yeah.
I bet it was, too.
Because he demonstrated it on the program. Real nice fella.
Nice man. I don't think, believe it or not, I don't think that these talking thermostats were originally developed for the blind.
They weren't. That's what he said. They were not developed for blind people.
And I think it was just a happy circumstance, like, wow, blind people like these things.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what they kind of, you know, the speech that you have now on this, on like the weather radios and all that, you know, and they, like in a braille note or something like that. I don't know which instrument you used like to write with, but a lot of that, you know, have been adapted into like police departments, especially small towns, one man units. That the computer talks. So he's out there with the suspect. He didn't have to turn his back while they're reading him the license number. You know, it's cool.
Well, it just points up what I've been saying for 5 years. If you got to be blind, it's a great time to be blind. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All the neat little gizmos and gadgets that we've got, the things that.
Well, there's a lot of good technology out there.
Oh, man, there is. And it's all expensive, but it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to remember to be good friends with your Commission for the Blind agent and get them to buy you whatever you want.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that the way it is? Well, they bought me.
No,
I know it's not. You know, I've never heard any blind person come on and say, man, I tell you what, I just love the so-and-so Commission for the Blind. They were so good to me. I've never had it, and we've done 200 and something of these shows.
Well, I haven't been your guest yet because it took me 40 years, but when I went back to school the last time, as a senior citizen almost, they were good to me.
Well, they broke down. I called them in 97 and said, I'm going to buy me a computer in JAWS. If you want to help me, fine. If you don't, screw you. And they bought me one.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I doubt very much that if I called them and said, look, I'm tired of my wife and my kids controlling the heat and the air conditioning in my house.
Wouldn't work.
I doubt that they would go for that.
Wouldn't work, Barry. Wouldn't work. Well, I might have to buy one for the studio and one. Not Patterson's got a birthday coming up.
I'm fixing to get two of them.
You can probably have those. You got two air conditioners. I got one out here in the studio building and one in the house. The house thermostat actually works pretty well. The one out here must be a cheaper one because there's a 4-degree difference in what it, you know, what it, it'll let the building, in other words, if it cools it off to a temperature, it'll let it rise 4 degrees before the compressor comes on again.
Yeah, digital thermostat would definitely give you a closer tolerance.
I think it probably would.
I am amazed, you know, you said that a while ago that you didn't think these were specifically designed for blind people.
Yeah.
And I am amazed that the price is like another. My company right now, my air conditioning company, will sell me that thermostat that you're talking about that does not talk for about the same price that you bought these. So I'm glad that that didn't accelerate.
You know, I have no idea what they sell these. The way this man, and I'm sorry, I apologize. I should have had his name and his contact.
Oh, man, that's all right. No big deal.
But at any rate, the way he explained it to me is, frankly, they weren't even originally set up to sell these directly to people. They were doing business only, and still really do business only with contractors, and set up something of a separate business to sell directly to blind people. I don't think they'll sell directly to the public at large, but they will sell directly to blind people.
But can you think of a market? Think of the market that this guy potentially has if he would exploit it. Like when they build a room, you know, certain hotel rooms are designated handicap friendly. Well,
oh
then
God.
that ought to include a talking thermostat.
Oh, it should.
You see, and I think he's just amazing, you know.
Boy, I'll tell you what, if they could develop, I don't think you would need, obviously you don't need the programmable version of it, but if you had a talking thermostat that you could sell to every hotel room and every motel room in the
absolutely.
Country, and all it did was report to you the temperature and tell you if you're moving up or moving
right.
down, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's all you'd need. It'd be.
That's all I want is know if I'm, you know, which way I'm going.
Oh, yeah, that's the main
well,
thing.
Well, and I said that because this guy sitting across the table from me is the guy that goes to motel rooms and hotel rooms on his little trips and everything and messes with air conditioning ducts. And
well, I take a set of tools with me in every trip I go because the air conditioner ducts are never set. The vents are never set like they should be. They're always turned toward the closet or something. So I take pliers and things and readjust them. I help folks. And I straighten out the tines on the forks in the restaurants. It's my job. We took a train to Chicago and rented a car and drove all around the Midwest. And we got to Chicago. It was late Saturday night. And we found this rib place. And we walked in. As we were walking in, the maitre d' said, "Find your own damn table. I'm tired." I wish I could remember the name of it, but the ribs came in a bucket, and they were excellent. They were wonderful ribs, but the guy, I just loved it. Because it was, he was tired, he was just BSing. Of course, he didn't find us a table. We went and found our own and drank beer and ate ribs. But Chicago's one of my favorite places to be. I love the big train station there.
I love the city. Chicago's a great city.
It is. It is. I love New York, but there's just something about Chicago that has a little magic for me. I wouldn't mind living close to there.
Yeah.
Well, you sound like you're handling things well and doing all right. Do you mind if we ask what age you are?
I am 56. I just turned 56 on Saturday.
Is that right?
Right.
So you're
married, close. Children, unmarried?
I am married. I have three kids, two of them in college, one starting next year.
Right.
God, you got two in college. You got to work. Go back to work. Don't let call the paper.
Yeah, you don't have time for us.
God, they cost a lot of money.
I just got my granddaughter just left for Sam Houston State College today in Huntsville. And, it's this, pawpaw this, and pawpaw. How am I going to pay for my books, pawpaw? Well, I guess you're going to put them on my damn credit card, aren't you? Huh? If you haven't got any money, it wouldn't work the last week.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I would have worked, but I was tired. I'd need the vacation. This girl is 18 years old and needs a, I know.
What's the old thing? It said, no mun, no fun, your son.
Yeah.
And the guy wrote
so
back,
sad.
Too sad, too bad, you're dead.
I just keep thinking, Phil, no good deed ever goes unpunished. I just keep that in my mind and keep right on granddaughter in college.
What I have a hard time with is the absolute one-way street it is. I mean, money just goes from me to them, and that's okay. I mean, I guess that's the role of a parent, or in your case, a grandparent, but there's no appreciation for it.
Man, I can't believe you said that. We're having that same fight right now. She doesn't seem to understand that it's going to cost us, even with scholarships and her car note, $500 to $600 a month to send her to college for this year.
And it's like no appreciation.
And it's like, Papa, I was going to come help you out Sunday afternoon, but I had some friends of mine and I had to go do this, and I'll see you on Monday.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Oh, well, Kimberly, you promised you'd come help. Well, I just can't. I just can't. I got something to do. My friend won't be in over there. Yeah.
Not as serious. I'm not sending any kids to school, but we just built a new swimming pool.
We'll get into that.
Kids and grandkids. Yeah. Well, I was just going to pass this on to Barry. And right now I'm putting grass around the pool. I mean, it is just now installed, you know, mm-hmm. and so I'm trying. Well, all the kids were there this weekend, and nobody. I looked around and I said, well, I was trying to figure out how many shovels I had. Y'all could come and help me spread the dirt. You know, nobody came. Now, they're coming this weekend to swim, but right. they saw this old 62-year-old blind man out there spreading dirt, and nobody even brought me a glass of water.
We have two extra bedrooms in our house, one that is set up as a guest room and one that has been a junk room where I've got a keyboard in there and I practice my guitar in there, and it's really just full of junk. Most of it could be thrown away and nobody'd care. Kimberly said the other day, hey, why don't we clean out the junk room, put the extra bedroom furniture in the junk room, and put my bed and bedroom furniture in what you call the guest room now, so I'll have a room when I get home. Okay? Okay, Kimberly, we'll do that Sunday afternoon. She dropped the other two grandkids off, and I ain't seen her since. We cleaned the junk room out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's absolutely. Next time I get to Chicago, I'm going to give you a call, sir.
Please do.
I certainly will.
We could drink some beer and eat pizza.
We'll have a. We'll go to that.
We'll offer some ribs and be treated rudely by the Chicago.
That'll be fine. That'll be fine with me. I'll enjoy it. Barry, thank you, sir, and keep on keeping on. We'll talk
thank
with you.
Thank you very much, guys.
Back with more of the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute. Hang on.
Like Me list.
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator. And I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. About the Blind Handyman List, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
You're listening to The Blind Handyman. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
And if you took those crappy commercials out of the computer, then we couldn't run them next week, could we?
That's true.
I've got to do something. I haven't done it. I haven't had any.
The delete button works.
I've been getting kids in school and putting up lights and dealing with my son, and it's just been a cluster.
Did he get the offshore job?
Well, I hadn't yet. Okay. We're still not. We're still giving.
You're still praying.
Still praying. Oh, you don't know how I'm praying. Yes. You just don't know. Well, well,
maybe you could send him off with Kimberly to college.
Yeah, back to school.
Send us off to college, try to gain a little knowledge. All we wanted to do was learn how to score. Remember that Jimmy Buffett tune?
Yeah.
She thought he was funny. She never heard it. She just got thought. I don't know what's wrong with kids these days. I guess they said the same thing about us.
Oh,
but
probably.
She just seems to have no appreciation for anything we do for her. And I guess no good deed goes unpunished. Anyway, we promised her a year, and we're going to give her that. But after that,
she's on her own.
You betcha.
That's good.
She is. If she doesn't straighten up and improve her attitude, she is.
Well, they make Pell Grants just for people with attitude problems.
Well,
get her own loans.
She's got one.
Yeah,
all right. As most of you know, those of you who joined us last week, remember Don Patterson is building a swimming pool. And Don has been building on this swimming pool now for, let's see, this is 2005. Well, it hadn't been quite that bad. But yeah,
I think I've been filling it since 2000.
Yeah, bet.
Are you filling it now?
I am filling it as we speak.
As we speak.
For the second time.
Wow.
We decided that the first thing was just a training. This is the training session. I went through pool training. Right. Actually, we had the pool poured. Everything looked good. It felt good. Filled it up. The water took 3 or 4 days. Cleared it up. Some 36,000 gallons of water, I calculate. Hey. Give or take. But the bottom was rough. And they give you all these little instructions how you lightly brush the newly poured plaster
yeah, so, on our pool.
So you can get the little bumps off and it smooths it out. And lightly, they mean lightly. No, you don't want to scratch it. Well, anyway, the bottom of our pool, especially in the shallow end that you could touch, was just rough, pitted. The guys, it rained the day, they plastered it right at the end of their day, and instead of covering the pool with plastic, as they should have done, they just piled on their truck and left. And so then they were going to come back, and they told me they could do this underwater, they could redo the plaster, and they were going to buff it, and I said, nah, I don't think so. Some of those pits are really deep down to the gunite. We'll drain the shallow end. Well, actually, obviously, then I feel good. I'm dealing with a pretty good company, and also I still got 20% of their money. And the guy, the main man from the plaster company, came down, and he looked at it, and he said, "No, we're going to drain the entire pool and redo it." He said, "I don't want this man saying bad things about me in a couple of years." And so, 36,000 gallons, we pumped it out.
And how long did that take?
Well, it took me 56 hours to fill up the pool with a half-inch hose. It took them 2.5 hours with two pumps and three-inch lines.
Yeah. And they just pumped it out on your land
somewhere. Well, we sent it out through the woods, down to the county road drainage ditch.
Wow.
Emily and I rode around there on the four-wheeler. I said, I want to go see what 36,000 gallons looks like.
And what did it?
It was a lot of water. And so, anyway, they came Monday. This was Saturday. They said, well, now we're not going to do it till Monday, you know. And so, lo and behold, Monday they showed up.
So the pool was empty for 2 days.
It was empty, but they jackhammered. They knocked holes in it. They don't want the water pressure from down underneath the ground.
Really?
I mean, they mutilated.
That was going to that was my next thought.
Oh,
was,
I'm telling
if
you.
It floated out of the ground.
Because, you know, when we first bought our pool, we went over to this guy's pool. I'm not going to call his name. And his pool had floated up. He had sandbags all around the edge. That'll give you real confidence.
Really?
That, you know?
No, I'm telling you. In other words, here was this pool, except for the pits. It wasn't just a cosmetic. It was just a shoddy job. But it was basically plastered. So here they drain the water, then they got about eight men here, jackhammers, and they're knocking holes in the pool all the way through
all
the gunite.
All the way through the concrete.
All the way through the
gunite and everything.
And I go, what are you going to do in those holes? Oh, we're going to fill them up with concrete, man. We're going to fix it.
Did water come up in the holes?
No water came up, but they just say the underground water pressure, and out where we live especially, we have a high water table.
Aquifer,
And so, anyway, they did all that.
They knocked holes. They actually jackhammered holes.
Yeah. One in each corner.
That's the wildest thing I've ever heard. How big a hole?
About 4 inches.
Jackhammers in.
Wow. You know,
about 4 inches. 4 inches across.
Like you hear out in the concrete when you're living in an apartment.
Yes. Yes. And so then, and they do it to relieve the water, the pressure. So then, when they came back Monday, That Saturday, though, also they did the hose, but then they put what they call a pre-coat. It's concrete. They just concreted again the whole pool, kind of, over the existing plaster that they didn't knock out. They knocked out all down about a half inch around all the tile. See, our tile was already there. And then when they came back Monday, they just started in and replastered the entire and buffed it and smooth. And it's smooth. See, if they had done it the first time, they wouldn't have had to come back. But it's beautiful. I mean, it's all nice and smooth and didn't rain. But they didn't. When these guys left again, they did not cover the pool. So yesterday, if you lived in Lufkin, I looked on the radar and I said, there were showers almost right on top of it.
Yeah.
And the plaster was still wet. So I called the pool people and I said, maybe y'all just like replastering my pool. But if you don't send some guys out here to cover it up, then I'll see y'all next Saturday. We'll drain it again. And so they sent guys out. We covered it up. And it did not rain.
They did cover it, though.
They did cover it, but it did not rain.
Well, it didn't rain, but it thundered all afternoon.
Yeah,
well, starting at about 5 o'clock till 8 o'clock, yeah. It thundered for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, if it didn't rain, it missed a hell of a good chance.
Well, and Sarah lives in Brook Hollow. It rained on her. It rays west, and on the loop, it rained. So.
Yeah. We got a little rain.
But anyway, so it's there. It's filling with dirty water. My Hudson Water District must be working on their pipes because the water going in is dirty, so I don't know how they'll clean that up.
No, that's strange because that's your drinking water.
It's really, and it's terrible. It's terrible looking. I'm going to move to Crown Colony.
Man. Well, the continuing saga of Don Patterson's pool will continue next week with more.
Yeah. Don Patterson with a hearty hi-o.
Well, you should be swimming in it. You got about a week here, big fella. Maybe two at the most if you don't mind swimming.
You don't mind swimming in
70-degree water.
I'm trying to figure out how to keep the water polluted till the grandkids so they can't come this weekend and then say, I'm sorry, guys.
Thank you, Pat. We appreciate you,
sir.
We loved it. Don Shaw?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming. Tom Houston. Yep. As always.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good driving. Remember that guy's backing that trailer up in your driveway and the guy got out and took him about 50? Excellent driving. You're an excellent driver. Thank you, Tom. We'll see you next week. I'm Phil Parr. For the Blind Man Handyman crew, I see Sid the Blind Man as you picked up his hammer and saw. Bye.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.